you this morning. We are starting our third week in the series on There Is a Reason. You'll remember back to that first week when we looked at There Is a Reason. What was the first week that we looked at? There is a reason for pain and for suffering. And so this in the second week, Debbie looked at there is a reason we need to find our why. And that was a great message that she shared with us. I want to say thanks to all that she did to prepare for that sermon. And this morning we're going to wrap up this series on there is a reason, and we're going to wrap this series up by talking about there is a reason for our calling. There is a reason for why we are here and why we do what we do. Has anyone in the room, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that has a real love-hate relationship with social media? I don't know about you, but there are many times in my day and in my week when I have had a great day, actually, a really good week. And while I'm having that good week, I have a look on social media at lunchtime or maybe late at night, and I think to myself, oh, look how good a holiday they're having. Well, let's be honest, it's not happening at the moment with everybody staying home. All we're seeing is selfies of people sitting on the lounge, aren't we? But often we get that green-eyed monster, I wish I was on holidays. They're having their third holiday this year. And all of a sudden that wrecks what seemed to be a perfectly good day. The reality is that we often think, oh, well, then my friend's having a better one than me. There are many times in our life where we get tripped up by this thing called a comparison trap. Paul talks about it, and he uses a term called the thorn in the side, the thing that traps him or that catches him out. It happens in the Old Testament as well. You see, I think the fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something or someone else. You see, I've said here many times that you are created on purpose for a purpose. But so often we look at ourselves and who God has created us to be, and we look at the person to the left and to the right, and we realize, well, I'm not as good as them at whatever it might be. If you were to ask me to go and to help you do any sort of manual labor or any of that stuff out in the to build something in the yard or just to be a trades assistant, you can ask any of the guys here. It's not one of my strong suits. It's not one of my strong suits to get out there and the prowess of being able to handle a hammer and a nail. They would probably call me lightning, I would think, because I don't hit the same spot twice. And if you want to know more about that story, I'm sure that Neil will share it with you over morning tea. I certainly kept him entertained the day that I allowed him to be present in the presence of my wonderful manual arts skills. But I could easily think to myself, well, I'm not as good as them at doing that. I'm not as good as them doing that. And yet, none of those people are called to preach a sermon. None of those people are called to love people in the worst possible day of their life. None of those people have the capacity to do the things that God has created me to do. And yet we get caught up, I get caught up, and I'm sure you do too, get caught up in comparing ourselves to others. Maybe I compare myself to all those people that run, and they run marathons. The reality is, if I'm running, you want to be running too, because there's something big and it's chasing me. I can't do what they do, and all of a sudden I'm not good enough. And we start to believe that lie that comes into our life. The reason you can't do what someone else can do is because you are not called to do that. You are called to do what God has created you to do, on purpose, for a purpose. The reason you can't do what they do is because you're not called to their purpose, you're called to your purpose. You need to stop this morning, stop calling. For the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the reality of there is a reason. And you remember from the first week that I shared with you that the thought that we had sometimes God's preparation for us comes packaged up in pain. And that's sometimes a really tough space to sit with at times. The other thing that I remember saying that very first week is that we don't need to look at life through the perspective of pain, but rather through a perspective of praise. Through a perspective of praise. It gives us so much context when we look at it through what God is actually doing in our lives rather than what God isn't doing, because we feel like we're just in the midst of that pain at that moment. I remember at the end of the sermon on that very first week, I shared with you that in our darkest of times, we have to look harder for what God is working in our lives. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to continue to look for that reason for where God is at work. In the second week, Debbie shared with us the sermon in that second week, and she talked about if we want to serve God's purpose, then we need to start serving God's people, looking for opportunities to partner with others to bring hope and faith and grace within our communities, to see others as an opportunity that we can bring a cross-shaped mission to their lives by being the light that God gives through us. The other thing that Debbie said in that second week is that our purpose isn't for you. Our purpose is for God's glory. Our purpose is for God's glory. You see, that changes our framework and it changes our focus when we take away from it being all about us and we realize that the reason that we are created on purpose for a purpose is to bring glory to Him. Amen? Amen. This morning, I want to look with you at a verse of scripture from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and it's a story in there of where right after the Easter Sunday, it's on Easter Sunday morning, John chapter 20. We all know the story really well. Mary goes to the tomb. She realizes that Jesus has been raised from the tomb. And what happens next? Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. It all of a sudden became a race. Anyone in the room that is competitive? Anyone get that white line fever like they call it in the football? Well, in this instance, this story from John chapter 20 that has been read for us this morning is that exact thing. All of a sudden, they had to be first. They had to be first. And so the story goes on that Simon Peter came along behind because the other disciple outran Peter. He outran Peter, and finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. There's always this tension and always this competitive nature. I wonder if you want to open your Bibles this morning and look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it's a verse in there that I want to share with you this morning. And I want to share with you something that you may not have heard before or may have forgotten because you've for too long listened to the loud lies that either you've told yourself or that others have told you. You are perfectly created by God to fulfill God's purpose for you. Not to fulfill God's purpose for someone else, but to fulfill God's purpose for you. Ephesians chapter 2 says these words in verse 10. For you are God's masterpiece. The words there say, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Now the word that he uses there is the word masterpiece. In the Greek, the word is the word poema, which is where we get the word poetry from. You are created as God's poetic statement for the reason that you are here. Everything God creates, He creates for a purpose. When I was a kid, we used to, in the 80s and 90s, we used to go down from time to time to the Christian bookstore in the town that I was living in. And who remembers those bumper stickers that used to be around? And I think back to some of those bumper stickers and man, some of them were really corny, weren't they? They were certainly super corny. One that I'm reminded of, and it fits us with this morning's message of that we're created on purpose for a purpose, is that God don't make no junk. Now, for the teachers in the room, they're all squirming. They're all feeling a little uncomfortable because I've just broken about 63 English rules, of which I remember 62 of them. That's not true. I barely remember any. I before E, except after C is the only one. But except in a whole bunch of words that I didn't realize until I was much older. But God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make things that are a mistake. He created us on purpose. Your birth and your existence in this world tells us that your purpose is necessary. There is no substitute for you. No one else can fulfill the purpose that you have in what God has created for you to do. Because you're created by God, for God, we need to be able to do everything for His glory. Don't do it for the approval of others. That's easy. That's what we're always looking to do in this world, is to make sure that we keep everybody else happy. And yet that is not what God has asked us to do. We're not created to make others happy. The reality is that there are going to be many times when we're not going to make others happy. But our entire purpose is to point people to Jesus. What are we doing this morning? What are we doing this morning to point others to Jesus? You can't fulfill God's purpose when you're comparing yourself to someone else. That rivalry that we talked about before, competing with somebody else, wanting to be better, stronger, wiser, brighter, bigger than someone else. John compared himself to Peter. He said many, 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 many times, the other disciple reached here first. The other disciple went in first. The other disciple who won. He wanted everybody to know. Even those who look on social media start to compare the way that they do life to what everyone else is doing. We need to remember that what happens on social media is simply just the highlight reel. No one's going to put on there the tough stuff that's happening in their life. Peter goes on to deny Jesus three times after the resurrection. He has a powerful encounter on the beach when they had breakfast that day. And Jesus said to him, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Here, Peter, here is your calling. Here is your calling. I want you to feed my sheep. "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." "Well, feed my sheep." And then he goes on to say, "Feed my lambs." And at the end of that, "If you want to remain alive in me," in John 21, "what is that I want you to do? As for you, I want you to follow me." Stop comparing yourself, friends, this morning. Stop comparing your calling to others. Stop comparing what you weren't designed to accomplish, because God created you for a purpose. He has created you to accomplish something unique and special. And when we don't do what God has asked us to do, and we don't embrace what He has asked us to embrace, then we are shortchanging this world for the image of God that we are reflecting to this world. We are giving them a distorted view of the image of God because we are not doing all that we can to point people to Jesus. Let's stop doing that this morning. 2 weeks ago, I shared this verse from Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to share it with you again this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." The secret this morning, so there is a reason for your calling. The way that we're going to have clarity in our calling is to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. What have you got your eyes fixed on this morning? What have you got your eyes fixed on? What are the things that are distracting you from keeping your eyes fixed on Him? What are we running for? Who are we running for? What are we running to? It is impossible. It's impossible to win someone else's race. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. There are many people that would look at your life and would look at mine and go, well, they must have it easy. It's never a struggle for them. Well, let me tell you this morning, there are many times in my life and in the life of many people that attend our church and join with us and the Fast Salvos online family that have struggles in their life that they won't want anyone else to know about. And yet, more often than not, we look at their life and we think they've got it perfectly made and we model our life on them. What we're modeling our life on is a failed, broken human being when we should be modeling our life and basing all of our decisions on the one who is infallible. Let's base our life and fix our eyes on the prize that is in Christ Jesus. So what do we need to do? We need to respond often when we catch ourselves out comparing ourselves to others, and we need to say, that's not my race, that's not my calling. God has called me for a purpose, and I've been created on purpose. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. The reality is, friends, that there is nobody that can do what you have been called to do. There's nobody that can do what you have been called to do. We can spend so long trying to be just like somebody else when we grow up, when our entire design and purpose is to bring glory to God and be more like Christ in all that we do. This morning, I want to encourage you that you are God's masterpiece. You're created to do good works that He prepared you to do. Not anyone else to do, but He created you to do. You're perfectly created. Now, I know that there's going to be other sort of lies that are going to go around in your mind at this time. Let me tell you this morning, you are created perfectly for who God has you created you to be. You're not going to win every race. You're not going to win every battle. But you can win your race. And you can win the battle that is placed before you, because victory is found in Christ Jesus. He already has the victory. So in this concluding week of this There Is a Reason series, let us remember that there are times where we will experience pain, where we will experience suffering. And in the midst of that, God will use it to bring glory to Him by creating endurance in us and perseverance, so that we will be stronger, because we will continue to focus on why we are here. And there is a reason for our why. There is a reason for why we communicate and why we tell people and tell others about Jesus, isn't there? Surely you've got a reason why. A number of years ago, we used to sing a song, "Would You Know Why I Love Jesus, Why He Is So Dear to Me?" We sang a chorus two Sundays ago. I want to sing it. I want to shout it. I want to tell you all about it, the love of Jesus. That's our why, isn't it? We want to shout it. We want to tell everybody about the fact that we were broken, and out of it, in the midst of our brokenness, Jesus met us and healed us and created us to be all that we wanted to be. In everything that you are, our music team's going to come and share with us in a moment, but in all that you are, let's be prepared to be honest and say that we are created What? On purpose, for a purpose, perfectly, as God's masterpiece. Created to do good works, He prepared for you to do. And let's make sure we keep our mind fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't give Him a passing glance, friends. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Him. Fixed on Him. And as they come, I want to leave this with you. It's impossible for you to win someone else's race, because there's a reason. There's a reason this morning for you to run your race, because we need you to point people to Jesus. God bless you each, friends. Have a great week.